Let's humble our hearts before Almighty Yahweh, throne of grace. Father Yahweh, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace, thanking and praising your name for another Sabbath day and another opportunity to come before you and worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, we know there's a separation between the holy and the common and the clean and the unclean, between your 144,000 and the rest of the world. Even though we know that there's going to be a great number who wash their robes white in the blood of the Lamb, but they're not a part of the first fruit. So we ask, Father, that you would touch hearts, that you would cause those of your elect to step forth, those of your elect, your saints, to stand up strong, that they would be your diligent servant, seeking to do that which is right each and every opportunity. Help us, Father, that if we do fall before you, that you would lift us up. We know the scriptures do teach us that a righteous man falls seven times and rises yet again. But it's not in the falling, Father. It's the rising, the being able to get up, being able to seek your face and do that which is right in your sight. Forgive us, Father, our shortcomings and sinful nature. Help us, Father, that we might be better servants of yours as we seek to do that which is right in your sight. We thank you, Father, for your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, who gave up a great example by being the first of the first fruit, by overcoming this world. Through his death, each and every one of us have an opportunity at life everlasting. But Father, as we seek to do that which is right, help us to be faithful. Help us to overcome this world and Satan the devil. He is truly trying to destroy your work and your people. And we know, Father, that it's only through your protection and it's only through your strength that we have an opportunity to overcome him. And it's through Yahshua's shed blood that we have that opportunity. Help us to be faithful in all things. Open our hearts and minds to receive the implanted word that you've prepared for us this day. So, Father, we humbly bow our hearts before you and give thanks and praise to your holy name. In Yahshua's name, we ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. This message is entitled Character Building for the 144,000. Character Building for the 144,000. When we all came to Yahshua, we were sinners. Some of us were murderers, if not in the physical sense, definitely in the spiritual. Because we hated our fellow man. And we know in Matthew chapter 5, and we'll turn there for an opening passage, Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. You have heard that it was said to them of old time, you shall not kill, and whoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever shall say to his brother, Racha, which means in the Hebrew, I spit on you, shall be in danger of the council. And whoever shall say, you fool, shall be in danger of Gehenna fire. If therefore you are offering your gift at the altar, and remember that your brother has anything against you, leave there your gift before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are with him in the way, lest the adversary delivers you to the judge and the judge delivers you to the officer and you be cast into prison. Truly, I say to you, you shall by no means come out from there till you have paid the last quadrant. None of us were perfect. No, not one. So we cannot look down at anyone, brethren. The 144,000 don't. They've been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. They have overcome this life of sin and despair by learning to love. We're going to continue in Matthew chapter 5, verse 27. We'll read verses 27 and 28. Because, as I said, some of us were murderers, some of us were adulterers, and here it says in verse 27, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone that looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. So we have to see that the spiritual is even more refined. We know that if we commit the act, you have to think about it before you commit the act physically. So before you can commit adultery, you have to think about it. You don't just fall into bed with somebody. There's a plan involved. And even in a situation where you may even commit murder and strike somebody down, normally that could happen at an impulse, but even there's a thought process there, okay? We have to take control. We have self-control. We can't look down on anyone, brother. We have to overcome this life. And we can do it. And the reason we can do it is because the character building of the 144,000. Yahshua has taught us certain things that we have to do to be his people. Turn to Revelation chapter 14. We'll go back to the passages concerning the 144,000. That's Revelation chapter 14, verses 1 to 5. And I saw, and behold, the Lamb standing on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their forehead. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And the voice I heard was the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sing, as it were, a new song before the throne, and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no man could learn the song except for the 144,000, even they that had been purchased out of the earth. These are they that were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they that follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were purchased from among men to be the first fruits to Yahweh and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no lie. They are without blemish. And over at Revelation chapter 7, starting in verse 1, after this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that no wind should blow on the earth, or on the sea, or upon any tree. And I saw another angel ascend from the sun rising, having the seal of the living Elohim. And he cried with a great voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, do not hurt the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, until we have sealed the servant of our Elohim on their forehead. And I heard the number of them that were sealed, 144,000, sealed out of every tribe of the children of Israel. There are a lot of groups that teach that people are going to be caught away so that they don't have to go through the tribulation. And we've already shown in Matthew 24:29 that that's not scriptural. This talks about sealing before that period of time. The servant, the 144,000, will be sealed before the tribulation. They are virgins. Turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Start in verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. For the foolish, when they took their lamps, took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom stayed, they all slumbered and slept. But at midnight there is a cry, "Behold the bridegroom, come forth to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "Perhaps there will not be enough for us and you. Go rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went away to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. After it came also the other virgins, saying, "Master, Master, open to us." But he answered and said, "Truly, I say to you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know not the day, nor the hour." Matthew chapter 7. Verse 15, it says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. By their fruits you shall know them. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree brings forth good fruit. But the corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits shall you know them. Not every one that says to me, 'Master, Master,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven." That's who's going to be there, those that are doing Yahweh's will. "Many will say to me in that day, 'Master, Master, did we not preach, prophesy by your name, and by your name cast out demons? And by your name do many mighty works.'" So in the name of Yahweh, people can do mighty works. But does that mean that they are of Yahweh? Verse 23, it says, "And then will I profess to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work lawlessness.'" There is a distinction between the holy and the common, the clean and the unclean. The 144,000 have a song that they sing that no one knows but them. Turn to Psalm 96. Psalm 96. It says, "Oh, sing to Yahweh a new song. Sing to Yahweh all the earth. Sing to Yahweh, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the people. For great is Yahweh and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all Elohim. For all the Elohim of the peoples are idols, but Yahweh made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to Yahweh, you kindreds of peoples. Ascribe to Yahweh glory and strength. Ascribe to Yahweh the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his court. O worship Yahweh in holy array. Tremble before him, all the earth. Do the people of this earth tremble before Yahweh? No. Most of them don't know his name. And a lot of them know his name, do not fear him. Say among the nation, Yahweh reigns. The world also is established that it cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar in the fullness of it. Let the field exult and all that is in it. Then shall all the trees of the woods sing for joy before Yahweh, for he comes. For he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. Character building for the 144,000. The 144,000 understand the truth. And it's very important to them. And they share that truth with the people around them. How do you go from a sinner to a saint? To the elect of Yahweh. That who the 144,000 are, brethren. They have overcome the world. The 144,000 are like Joshua and Caleb, who entered the promised land to give the children of Israel who came out of Egypt, which is synonymous with sin, an example. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 20. Ezekiel chapter 20. We're going to start in verse 1. And it came to pass in the seventh year, in the fifth month, the tenth day of the month, that certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of Yahweh and sat before me. And this is Ezekiel talking. And the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the elders of Israel and say to them, In this manner says the sovereign Yahweh, Is it to inquire of me that you have come? As I live, says the sovereign Yahweh, I will not be inquired of by you. Will you judge them, son of man? Will you judge them? Cause them to know the abominations of their fathers? And say to them, in this manner says the sovereign Yahweh, in the day when I chose Israel and swore to the seed of the house of Jacob and made myself known to them in the land of Egypt, when I swore to them, saying, I am Yahweh your Elohim, in that day I swore to them, to bring them forth out of the land of Egypt into the land that I had searched out for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all land. And I said to them, Cast away every man the abomination of his eye, and defile not yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am Yahweh your Elohim. But they rebelled against me and would not listen to me. They did not, every man, cast away the abomination of their eye. Neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. What about us today, brethren? Are we like Israel of old? Have we kept the idols of our pagan past in our hearts? Do we go back to them subconsciously? Then I said, I would pour out my wrath upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the middle of the land of Egypt. But I work for my name's sake, that it should not be profaned in the sight of the nation. So what Yahweh does, he's doing for not only the 144,000, but he's doing it for his own name's sake, to show his power, his authority among the people of this world. Among which they were, in whose sight I made myself known to them, and bringing them forth out of the land of Egypt. So I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness. And I gave them my statutes and showed them my ordinances, which if a man does, he shall live in them. And truly Yahweh has given us today his commandments for the character building of the 144,000. Those commandments are designed so that we would live in them, so that we would be separate from the people of the world by keeping Yahweh's covenant. In verse 12, it says, moreover, also I gave them my Sabbath to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am Yahweh that sanctifies them. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walked not in my statutes, and they rejected my ordinances, which if a man keeps, he shall live in them. And my Sabbaths they greatly profane. Then I said I would pour out my wrath upon them in the wilderness to consume them. But I work for my name's sake, that it should not be profaned in the sight of the nations, in whose sight I brought them out. Moreover, also I swore to them in the wilderness that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands, because they rejected my ordinances and walked not in my statutes and profaned my Sabbath, for their heart went after their idols. Nevertheless, my eyes spared them, and I destroyed them not, neither did I make a full end of them in the wilderness. No, Yahweh was merciful. He was gracious to them. But you know what? Every one of them died in their sin in the wilderness. We're in a wilderness condition right now, brethren. Okay? Only two came out of that wilderness condition and went into the promised land with those children, and that was Joshua and Caleb. The 144,000 are like Joshua and Caleb. They're going to go into the thousand-year millennium. They're going into the kingdom of Yahweh as first fruit. Verse 18, it says, and I said to their children in the wilderness, walk not in the statutes of your fathers, neither observe their ordinances, nor defile yourselves with their idols. I am Yahweh your Elohim, walk in my statutes, and keep my ordinances, and do them, and hallow my Sabbath, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am Yahweh your Elohim. For the children rebelled against me. They walked not in my statutes, neither kept my ordinances to do them, which if a man does, he shall live in them. They profaned my Sabbath. Then I said, I would pour out my wrath upon them, to accomplish my anger against them in the wilderness. Nevertheless, I withdrew my hand and worked for my name's sake, that it should not be profaned in the sight of the nations, in whose sight I brought them forth. Moreover, I swore to them in the wilderness that I would scatter them among the nations and disperse them through the country, because they had not executed my ordinances, but they had rejected my statutes and profane my Sabbath, and their eyes were after their father's idol. Moreover, also I gave them statutes that were not good, and ordinances in which they should not live. And I polluted them in their own gifts, in that they caused to pass through the fire all that opens the womb, that I might make them desolate to the end, that they may know that I am Yahweh. And truly, in the end, they knew. But see, the problem with Israel, and this is the problem with those who use the name of Yahweh, they believe they're in the faith, okay? They're calling on Yahweh's name. They say they keep the covenant, okay? Yahweh makes the distinction between the holy and the common, the clean and the unclean. How many exceptions do you make in keeping Yahweh's covenant law? We can't make any exceptions. We have to be 100% in agreement to keep the whole counsel of Yahweh's law. We can't pick and choose which commandments we want to keep. Turn to Isaiah chapter 63. Isaiah 63, we'll start in verse 1. See, to build character, you have to practice good things. And the good things that we're practicing are the commandments and following Yahshua themselves. And Isaiah 63:1, it says, "Who is this that comes from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, marching in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Why are you red in your apparel? And your garments like him that treads in the wine bath. I have trodden the winepress alone. And of the people, there was no man with me. Yes, I trod them in my anger and trampled them in my wrath. And their lifeblood is sprinkled upon my garments. And I have stained all my raiment. For the day of vengeance was in my heart. And the year of my redeemer is come. And I looked, and there was no one to help. And I wondered that there was no one to uphold. Therefore my own arm brought salvation to me, and my wrath that upheld me. And I trod down the peoples in my anger and made them drunk in my wrath, and I poured out their lifeblood on the earth. I will make mention of the loving kindness of Yahweh and the praises of Yahweh according to all that Yahweh has bestowed upon us. And the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he has bestowed on them according to his mercy and according to the multitude of his loving kindness. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not deal falsely. So he was their savior. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. And he bore them and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he was turned to be their enemy, and himself fought against them. We don't want Yahweh to be our enemy, brother. We want Yahweh to be our Savior. That's what Yahshua means. Yahweh is salvation. Then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherds of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit in the middle of them, that caused his glorious arm to go at the right hand of Moses, that divided the waters before them to make himself an everlasting name, that led them through the depth as a horse in the wilderness, so that they stumbled not, as the cattle that go down into the valley? The Spirit of Yahweh caused them to rest. Where did you lead your people to make yourself a glorious name? Look down from heaven and behold from the habitation of your holiness and of your glory. Where is your zeal, your mighty acts, the yearning of your heart and your compassions are restrained toward me? For you are our father, though Abraham knows us not and Israel does not acknowledge us. You, O Yahweh, are our father, our redeemer, from everlasting is your name. O Yahweh, why did you make us to err from your ways and harden our hearts from your fear. Return for your servant's sake the tribes of your inheritance. Those 12 tribes. 12,000 of each tribe make up the 144,000. Your holy people possessed it. But in a little while, our adversaries have trodden down your sanctuary. We have become as they over whom you never bore rule, as they that were not called by your name. But we are called by the name of Yahweh. And we are Yahweh's people because we're being faithful in keeping Yahweh's covenant. We have an advocate with the Father in case we stumble, if we've accepted the blood of Yahshua the Messiah. We're going to continue on in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 1. O you that would rend the heavens, that you would come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence, as when fire kindles the brushwood, and the fire causes the waters to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, that the nations may tremble at your presence. When you did terrible things, which we looked not for, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. For from of old men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither has the eye seen an Elohim besides you, who works for him that waits for him. You meet him that rejoices and works righteousness. Those that remember you in your ways, behold, you are angry, and we sin. In them have we been of long time, and shall we be saved? For we have all become as one that is unclean, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, polluted garments, and we all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away, and there is no one that calls upon your name. Who's going to be saved? Those that call upon the name of Yahweh, that stirs up himself to take hold on you, for you have hid your face from us and have consumed us by means of our iniquity. But now, O Yahweh, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you our potter, and we all are the work of your hand. Be not angry very much, O Yahweh, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, look, we plead you. We are all your people, your holy city, have become a wilderness. Zion has become a wilderness, Jerusalem a desolation. Our holy and our beautiful house, where our fathers praised you, is burnt with fire, and all our pleasant places are laid waste. Will you refrain yourself for these things, O Yahweh? Will you hold your peace and afflict us beyond measure? And the answer is no, brother. He's not going to afflict us beyond measure. What he wants us to do is build the proper character. He wants us to be faithful in all things. Turn over to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. This is important. Very important for us to understand. As we try to build the proper character to be the 144,000, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of Yahweh is eternal life in the Messiah, our Master. In Romans chapter 3, verse 21, Romans 3, verse 21. But now apart from the law of righteousness, a righteousness of Yahweh has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of Yahweh through faith in Yahshua the Messiah to all them that believe. For there is no distinction. There's no distinction between the Greek and the Jews. between the holy and the common. There is a distinction, and it's brought out here. It says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. See, so it doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or a Greek or a Gentile. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of Yahweh, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in the Messiah Yahshua, whom Yahweh set to be forth to be a propitiation, an atonement through faith in his blood to show his righteousness because of the passing over of the sins formerly committed in the forbearance of Yahweh. For the showing, I say, of his righteousness at this present season, that he might himself be just and the justifier of him that has faith in Yahshua. Where then is the glory? It is excluded. By what manner of law? Of works? No, but by a law of faith. We reckon, therefore, that a man is justified by faith apart from the work of the law. Or is Yahweh the Elohim of the Jews only? Is he not the Elohim of the Gentiles also? Yes, of the Gentiles also. If so be that Yahweh is one, and we know that he is, Deuteronomy 6:4, the Shema, and he shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make the law of no effect through faith? By no means. No, we establish the law. Too many people are telling the Gentiles the law is done away with. But that's not what the scripture says. Turn over to Matthew chapter 5. We'll read verses 17 to 20. Think not that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one yod or one tittle shall in no wise pass away from the law, till all things be accomplished. Whoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever shall do and teach them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Most of our religious people today, whether they be in the Christian church, whether they be in the synagogue, some of the rabbis, or whether they be, you know, in whatever religion, even in the Muslim faith, it seems that most of them have lost focus over what it means to be a servant of Yahweh. They've lost focus as to who they represent. See, because the days when the Pharisees and the scribes were there, and we see that in Matthew 23, where Yahshua stands, the scribes and Pharisees sit at Moses' feet, do as they say, not as they do, because they're hypocrites. They were teaching the law. So salvation is of the Jews, the worshipers of Yahweh. But the religious leaders, even the Christian churches today, they seem to have lost the focus of what's important. They're not serving Yahweh, they're serving themselves. They want to be fed by the people, by the tithes, by the offering, instead of giving glory to Yahweh. See, our character, as we are building a certain type of character to be the 144,000, is we have to be above reproach. We have to be honorable in all things, especially dealing with Almighty Yahweh. We have to treat one another with respect. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees to the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, that you may be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inward man, that the Messiah may dwell in your hearts through faith, to the end that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be strong to apprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of the Messiah which passes knowledge, that you may be filled to all the fullness of Yahweh. Now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the assembly and in the Messiah Yahshua to all generations forever and ever. Amen. I'm going to continue in Ephesians 4:1. It says, I therefore, the prisoner in Yahweh, beseech you that you walk worthily of the calling with which you were called. See, the 144,000 have been called to be a special group of people, with all lowliness and meekness. Remember, Moses was the meekest man on the earth. With long suffering, forbearing one another in love, giving diligence to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, there is one Spirit, even as you were called, and one hope of your calling, one Master, one faith, one baptism, one El and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us was the grace given according to the measure of the gift of the Messiah. So in building your character, what kind of grace did Yahweh give you? What was the measure of the gift of the Messiah that he gave you? Therefore, in verse 8, he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended. What is it? But that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints. That's the purpose. To perfect the saints, the elect, the 144,000, to build that character, to teach them to be perfect, to the work of ministering, to the building up of the body of the Messiah, so we all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of Yahweh, to a full-grown man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Messiah. That we may no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. And too many, even in the faith of Yahweh, too many people are seeking knowledge here, knowledge there, seeking, you know, something new. And we should be at a point where we're eating meat. We already know what Yahweh requires of us. By the sleight of men and craftiness after the wiles of error, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, even the Messiah, from whom all the body fitly framed and knit together through that which every joint supplies, according to the working and due measure of each several part, make the increase of the body to the building up of itself in love. That's the key element of character building. It's the love. If we have the love of the Messiah, we can say that we are his chosen, his people, his 144,000. Verse 17, it says, "This I therefore say and testify in Yahweh that you no longer walk as the Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of Elohim because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their heart, who being past feeling, gave themselves up to lasciviousness, a license to sin, to work all uncleanness with greediness, but you did not so learn the Messiah, if so be that you heard him and were taught in him, even as truth is in Yahshua, that you put away as concerning your former manner of life, the old man corrupted by lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man that after Yahweh has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth." The 144,000 are new creatures, brethren, to Yahweh. They are not spiteful and cruel. They sigh over wickedness around them. They are concerned over the law of Yahweh. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And we'll look at verses 43 to 48. "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy and pray for them that persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them that love you, what reward have you? You're not there, brethren. You haven't overcome. Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the Gentiles the same? You therefore shall be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." This is what's going to get us to having our character built to be the 144,000. The 144,000 receive the mark of Yahweh because they trust him. Those who receive the mark of the beast have no faith in Yahweh. They have a lack of faith. We know knowledge has been increased in the last days. Brethren, just look around you. The technology is doubling so quickly that people can't keep up. In all the third world countries, the people have cell phones that act as handheld computers. They can send and receive information instantly. No need for shortwave radios, brethren. That's old technology. A smartphone can text, talk, and download anything you want quickly. You can send videos, pictures. I can take a picture with my phone of Green Ears in Israel and send it to anyone in the world instantly. The 144,000 have set their hope on Yahshua, the Lamb of Yahweh, not any man. You understand there's a distinction made between the holy and the common, the clean and the unclean. Too many people still worshiping in the name of Yahweh have put their hope in man. They have to trust in Yahweh. When I was in Kenya, one of the deacons there had his smartphone, and he was downloading sermons on his phone from yahstruth.org, from our website. Again, the 144,000 have set their hope in Yahshua, the Lamb of Yahweh, not any man. The character Yahweh is looking for is found in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5. I'm going to start in verse 22. Yeah, trying to kill myself here. My phone was about to die. Forgive me. Galatians 5, 22, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And they that are of the Messiah have impaled the flesh with the passion and the lust of it." These are character traits. Even though they're fruits of the Spirit, they're character traits. He's looking for a humble people who will lift him up in praise all the time, brethren. Study to show yourself approved of Yahweh with a meek and humble spirit, like Moses, who was the meekest man on earth. Deuteronomy chapter 12. Verse 32. Deuteronomy 12:32, it says, "Whatever I command you, that shall you observe to do. You shall not add to it nor diminish from it." Brethren, Yahweh is greater than we can imagine. Our minds cannot conceive how great Yahweh is. The 144,000 are worthy because they don't try to figure ways around the commandments. They just keep them without excuses because they are devoted to Him. May Almighty Yahweh bless you as you keep His covenant and qualify to be the 144,000. At this time, I'll ask Brother Al if he would close with a word of prayer.
Father, we thank you for this time that we can spend together on Shabbat. We thank you for this day, for the rest, and the spiritual nourishment that it affords us, that it allows us to separate from the foolishness we see in the world, and truly the world is in chaos. Chaos is abounding all around us, and we take the time to separate from the foolishness and to draw and to get together as people of life, precious faith in your Sabbath, to hear your word, sing your praises, to offer to you the offerings of love that we have for you. We thank you for the work you're doing in our lives. We know that you're at work, that you're going to continue to work on us until the day that Yeshua returns. We know, Father, that you are building character in us. We pray, Father, that we would be the 144,000. We pray that we would be the people that you want us to be. We pray, Father, that you would help us to nurture our relationship with you. We know that that's what you want, is koinonia, communion, fellowship with your people. Help us, Yahweh. Help us. We know that the fruit of the Spirit is the core character of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All those things, Father, have to be in our lives if we're going to be witnesses to this world. We pray that you would fill us with your Spirit. Give us greater portion. Give us a greater portion. We need more. We thank you for those that are gathered together today on this Sabbath. We thank you for answering our prayers. We've had praise reports today. We've heard testimonies in the past about how you've answered our prayers as we pray for people. And so we once again lift those people up to you that are on the prayer list, meeting their need. Use us, Father. Use us to meet the needs of people, hurting people in our world. Help us. Give us the resources and the finances and whatever else we need to meet the needs of people so that they too can experience your love and so that they can see that truly Yahweh is alive and he has a people that cares, a people that are filled with love. We thank you, Yahweh, in the name of Yeshua for the sacrifice that he made on our behalf so that we can come to you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We know that the veil was torn in two and we have unlimited access to your throne. We're thankful for that. We're thankful. Give you praise, glory, and honor in the name of Yeshua, our Savior and Redeemer, in whose name we ask these petitions. Hallelujah. Amen.